With great humility, we come before you this morning, declaring that you are Lord. Right now in heaven, your creatures never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We as your servants have stumbled this week in our walk. Our conduct has fallen short, and we have neglected your commands. We hunger and thirst for you, Lord. Allow our hearts to rest in you as your word is read and preached. Give us greater affections for you that not only last for the next few hours, but last all week. Renew our minds and spur us on to love and good works, not for our name, but for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you would remain standing for the reading of God's holy word and turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13 for context. James chapter 4, verse 13. If you're using a Pew Bible, you will find that on page 1013. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, "Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit." Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, "If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. In catechisms, we do this in our home. And for the last 2 weeks, we've been studying the first question and the first answer, and that is, what is man's chief end? What is man's primary purpose? And the answer is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And this purpose will happen in the lives of those who are saved. It's not a question of, will it happen? It will happen. The Lord's children will serve Him with their life. This is the calling of the Lord's children. We are to serve the Lord. In James chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So faith is never alone, never alone. Faith always produces fruit that glorifies the Lord. The Lord's children will live according to His word. They will live according to His law, His wisdom, and not the wisdom of the world. Our pattern will not look like that of how the people in the world are living. The conduct of the Lord's children is very different from that of a person who has not been born again. Because salvation, it changes everything, not parts. Salvation changes everything. Our eyes have been opened. A new heart has been given. We are no longer restless because we have been rescued and placed in Christ by His grace. Our old life that was unstable and selfish, that produced every vile practice, is no longer our pattern because we have been born again. There has been a new birth. The new life given from above, it cleanses us from all of our sin, and it produces a harvest of righteousness, as James says, full of mercy and good fruits. Faith is never alone. So the Lord saved us from something, hell, The Lord saved us to something, his eternal kingdom, and the Lord saved us for something, good works. Because God's children who say that they have trusted in Christ and Christ alone for salvation, who claim that they have been born again, we will work for the Lord. Because this is not our home. We understand our home is coming. And as we will see in today's passage, we don't know when he's going to call us home. James has been informing these scattered Jewish Christians that if they were truly saved, they will humbly submit to the Lord, and when they do this, they will glorify him. But when this is not done, everything will go wrong, and this is what we are seeing here. The Lord will not be glorified when submission to him is absent. Without submission, we cannot please the Lord. Even our relationships will fail to bear fruit when submission is absent. When we look at our own lives this morning, do we not see this battle raging right now? The battle to live according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. We see our failure to submit to the Lord. We see our sin, our fruitlessness, our disobedience. But we also, as God's children, see obedience by his grace that glorifies him. Today's verses are a plea for us to look at our short life, our very short life, and fulfill our God-given purpose. If you look with me at verse 13 and 14, this is where we find point number one. Don't live life without the knowledge and behavior of the Lord's providence and sovereignty. Don't live life without the knowledge and behavior of the Lord's providence and sovereignty. Verse 13, come now. You say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. James begins this section with the words, now listen or come now. James speaks with a serious tone as he addresses an unworthy behavior that is on display in the lives of these scattered Christians. In other words, James is declaring, I know how you have been living, I know what you are saying, and your life and words are not acceptable before the Lord. Your lives and lips are to serve the Lord. James, once again, he paints a beautiful picture for our minds to focus upon. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. These persecuted Christians immediately identified with these words from the pen of James. They were uprooted from their homes. They were seeking work to live. They were seeking to make a profit. Plans were being made so that they could survive and thrive. Now, James is not rebuking them for their planning, nor is he rebuking them for the desire to have financial gain. They were rebuked because the Lord was absent in their thinking and their words. Their behavior did not acknowledge the Lord. It was void of the Lord. They were not living according to the wisdom from above, but according to worldly wisdom that is all about self and not about the glory of God. In these verses, he says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. We are to make plans. And we do make plans. Each and every step can be carefully calculated by us. Even right now, I'm making plans to go to China with another brother in Christ in November. I have to make the steps to purchase the airline ticket, to plan the week. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I don't know what the rest of today will bring. We can even prepare for the unexpected. We can live according to Dave Ramsey, and we can have all the money set aside in the world. But you never know what's going to happen. Because the Lord is in control, we are not. In Proverbs 16, verse 9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. We are to make plans. And it is true that failure to plan is planning to fail, but the Lord is sovereign. We are not. The Lord supremely rules over all things. The words of John Calvin here are very piercing. He says, James does not reprove the form of speaking, but rather arrogance of mind, that men should forget their own weakness and speak thus presumptuously. For even the godly who think humbly of themselves and acknowledge that their steps are guided by the will of God may yet sometimes say, without any qualifying clause, that they will do this or that. See, the Lord is sovereign, but the Lord also ordains what comes to pass. This is what is known as the providence of God. He's bringing all of human history to his divinely determined goal. Amen? I mean, that is a great thing to think upon, to rest upon, to abide in. That the future is not dependent upon you and I. It cannot be. The Lord does not sit idly by wondering what will happen. We must not say, today or tomorrow we will go and do this or that and make a profit. We may or may not go anywhere tomorrow. We may not have life later on today. Tomorrow may not come. The Lord may allow us to do what we plan, or he may not. We are created beings who are weak and dependent upon the Lord for all things. We sit under a holy, sovereign Creator who ordains all that comes to pass. We have nothing to boast about concerning ourselves. We should only be boasting in the Lord. There is no place for arrogance and self-confidence in the lives of the Lord's children. The Lord Yahweh, he is working all things out for his glory and the good of his children, the good of us. Think about that, dear saint. So all the things that you and I complained about this week, all the things that we murmured about or we had to breathe heavy about, like, seriously? All the things that we were frustrated about, do you not think that our holy, sovereign, providential Lord knew that it was going to happen and allowed it to happen or caused it to happen? So whatever happens in this life, it is because the Lord ordained it to happen. And as his children, it is good for us. But keep this in mind, dear Christian. The good for us is based off of the Lord who knows all things, not you and I. We may not understand the good of what comes to pass, but we know the Lord is good and that the Lord does not change. We know who the Lord is and that he loves us and that we are to completely trust him. And that is much easier said than done. We also are to remember that the Lord disciplines us as part of his love, and our sin definitely has consequences. We are not to think or to behave as if we know what will come to pass. Big mistakes will happen. Major sin issues will arise in the church when we start speaking as if we are God and he is not. We do not know what will happen in the next 10 seconds, much less what will happen tomorrow, next week, or next year. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. So we are to behave and speak as those who are dependent upon the Lord. Look with me at the end of verse 14 of James chapter 4. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. We do not know what tomorrow will bring, so what is your life? It is a mist, it is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. The imagery in this epistle continues to draw our mind. The words in this letter actively cause our mind to deep meditation and evaluation. As I read this over and over this past week, just thinking about these words, what is your life? You are a mist, Casey. You are a mist. James humbles us and takes us to our proper lowly position as a servant of God. What is your life? You are a mist. You are a vapor. You are a smoke. Now, what is a mist? A mist is a cloud of tiny water droplets suspended in the atmosphere at or near the Earth's surface, limiting visibility. More specifically, for this context, a mist is temporary. It is not permanent. The mist does not know when it will vanish. And neither do we. What is James saying? Human life, our life, it is temporary. We do not know when we will depart. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. In Psalm 39, verses 5 and 6, behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. In Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, Jesus told a parable. He told them a parable saying, thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. He said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all the grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax. Eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We do not know what a day may bring. Our life is a few handbreadths, a mere breath. We are but a shadow. Life as we know it and understand it is temporary. This life as we understand it, we must constantly be reminded of, is not our home. Eternal destinations await all of us in this room. For those who love God, who obey His commands, who have turned from their sins and trusted in Christ and Christ alone for their salvation, heaven awaits us. Life with Jesus will soon come. For those who have not turned away from their sins, who have not trusted in Christ alone for their salvation, they have no payment for sin. They stand before the Lord guilty. They have not been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. They are continually disobedient to the commands of God. They are what the Bible makes clear of as spiritually dead. Hell awaits them. Forever torment is their future, because the wrath of God will be completely poured out on all who do not repent and believe. Our life is but a mist, and we never know when the Lord has predestined our last breath. We never know when that will be. As I continue to go through this passage, I was reminded of years ago when I was attending seminary, as I was in this book that was being read, talking about the providence and sovereignty of God, there was an amazing illustration that has never left my mind. And that illustration was, the pastor was preaching on, you never know when your last breath will be, and as soon as he got through preaching and he sat down in the pew, he died. And for the rest of the congregation, that was a huge wake-up call, that we never know when our last breath will be. We must live life understanding and embracing with our behavior and with our words the providence and sovereignty of God. We need to be reminded that our life is temporary, because that means our breath that we have today is God-given by His grace. Our breath that we have today should be used for His glory, because we may not have tomorrow. Our behavior and our words are to glorify the Lord. Our limited time should be about eternal things, not things that will fade. The Lord is our treasure, isn't He? Now that James has told us how not to think and behave, he now tells us how to think and behave. Point number 2, verses 15 through 17. Live your life for the Lord or sin and waste it. Live your life for the Lord or sin and waste it. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. We should not say we will, we should say if the Lord wills. The word instead in verse 15 is a connecting word to verse 13. Don't say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town. Instead say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. The key word is if. If it is the Lord's will, we will do what we plan. If the Lord does not will it, you and I will not do what we plan. If the Lord does not will it, it will not come to pass. We see this example in God's holy word in creation. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it says, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. In the words of Christ out of John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray like this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because in prayer, so often we're talking to God about our own will, and we should be talking about the Lord's will. Yes, we come to Him with our petitions and the things that we are anxious about, but we need to be reminded above of being dependent upon the Lord. He already knows what we're going to say before we even say it. When Jesus was praying in Gethsemane before He was crucified, He said in Matthew 26, 42, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. In Acts 18:21, when Paul was asked to stay in Ephesus, but he declined, he said, I will return to you if God wills. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 19, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. And then close to the end of Romans, in Romans 15, verses 30, Paul declares, I appeal to you, brothers, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. So what you are seeing is example after example after example in Scripture of men who love the Lord, who constantly thought about the Lord's will and spoke about the Lord's will even in their prayers. See, our behavior in this life is to declare our dependence upon the Lord, who is ordaining all that comes to pass and is ruling over all of His creation. Our life is subject to the Lord. Our plans are subject to the Lord. And as the Lord's children, we are to live a biblical life, meaning we are to have a biblical worldview, and that includes our words and our behavior concerning His sovereignty and His providence. Our planning should be biblical, dependent upon the Lord, and our will should be God's will, aligned with His holy word. And what that means is work. That means for our plans to be God glorifying, you must know God's holy word. The stats are too pathetic. By how many people are living their life by God's given mercy and grace that don't know His word and are wondering, what is God's will for my life? If we think we're going to know God's will by spending 5 minutes a day every other day in the Bible, you are mistaken. We must abide. How do you think we're going to get through trials, much less everyday life, glorifying the Lord? These saints, they were scattered. They had been persecuted. They were struggling. And James is writing them to say, look, it is very obvious all the things that are going on. You forgot the Lord, and you're speaking as if you don't know His will. Our life is subject to the Lord. The behavior of these men and women was not glorifying Him. And he brings out this point even more so in verse 16. He says, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. They were becoming prideful in their planning. They were boasting not in the Lord, but in their arrogance of what they did not know. Their behavior was wicked. Douglas Moo points out, people not only leave God out of account in planning their lives, they brag about it as well, proclaiming, in effect, their autonomy and independence from the Lord. James was calling these Christians out on the red carpet. This was a rebuke that they could not ignore. He was showing them their godless and wicked behavior and calling it sin. He was proclaiming, where is your wisdom from above in your life and in your words? Where is it? Where is your biblical worldview that you claim to have as being individuals who are born again? And this is why verse 16 flows beautifully into verse 17. He says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. He was saying, you know what the right thing is to do and you're not doing it. You know exactly what it is. He closes this section by declaring that these Christians are without excuse, that they know what they are to do. And this morning, you and I know what we are to do. We have God's will in our language. You have it available in so many different forms. If you don't want to turn the lamp on when you're in bed, you have your phone. We're in the drive-thru waiting for food, you have your phone. When you're on break at lunch, you have your phone. And hopefully you have scripture that you've memorized, that you begin to review in your mind to know God's will. We know what we are to do. We know the right thing to do. And if we fail to do the right thing, it is sin. James addresses the sins of omission here. It is not just what we do in this life that is important. It is also what we don't do that we know that we should be doing. The sins of commission that we are guilty of, James has already addressed. Gossip, slander, boasting, and partiality, just to name a few. But there are plenty of sins of omission that we can constantly think about concerning our lives. But our issue is we tend to only think of sins that we commit, But there are plenty of things that we don't do that we should be doing. We sin with our tongue, but do we encourage and build up? We sin with our conduct, but do we ask for forgiveness? Do you pray? Do you pray for wisdom? You hear the word, but do you do the word? You see the downcast. Do you help the downcast? You're around the body of Christ. Do you work for unity among the body of Christ? You have neighbors. We all do. Do you love them? You know what the gospel is. Do you share it? You know that you're supposed to humble yourselves before the Lord, but do you humble yourselves before the Lord? If you don't go to Him in prayer, if you don't have times of repentance and confession each and every day, there's your answer. You're not humbly submitting before a holy God. You make plans. Do you think about the Lord's will in your plan? Do you forget to pray about your plans? I want to close with all of us turning to Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. I want to close with words that are going to spur us on to action, the words of Christ. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home. From the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour when he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. We are to be dressed for action. Our lamps are to be lit. The world should see that we belong to Christ because we are a light and we are the salt. In all things, we are to be dependent upon Him, living according to His will, humbly submitting ourselves before Him each and every day because we are not God. He is. The Lord's children, they will worship Him. They will have godly behavior that glorifies him. Faith is never alone. They will be doers of his word. So we ask ourselves this morning, very easy but very difficult questions. How are we living this life? If our life is but a mist, how are we living it? We know the truth. Are you doing the right thing or are you sinning? What commands are you and I neglecting? What commands are you and I not doing? Our life is a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Positionally, for those of us who are redeemed, we can say, yes, we are ready to stand before the Lord. But based on how you are presently living, are you ready to stand before the Lord? I love his words. He says, if the Lord wills, we will live and do that. He says, if you're saying, today we are going to do this, tomorrow we are going to do that. He says, all such boasting is evil. There's no middle ground. Then he says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. What that screams to our life this morning is that you and I both know what our present sins are. We know what we are committing and we know what we are not doing that we should be doing, and we have no excuse. We need to humbly submit ourselves before the Lord and do those things for his glory, because our life is but a mist. Are you ready to stand before the Lord? Let us pray. Creator and Redeemer, God, thank you for the privilege of us gathering together this morning and worshiping you. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, forgive us when we don't want to be in the light and we want to trailblaze our own path. You have once again placed us in our proper position of being your servants and showed us once again your supreme position of being Lord of all. Lord, forgive us for not considering you and living for you. Forgive us for not coming to you asking for wisdom. Please give us wisdom so that we may glorify you. Help us to kill our sin by the power of the Holy Spirit, and not waste this short life. Make us a people who love you and obey your every command. Make us a people whose character is seen by all as men and women who love you and stand on truth. I ask that you use this time of silence and reflection to meet with the Lord. We will end our service in a few minutes after our time of benediction. And as always, if you have questions about the gospel, if you have questions about this church or salvation, please come and talk with someone before you leave. But use this time right now and reflect upon the Lord and his word.